On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. You know, last night, and I hope I can be forgiven because I did. I felt like grim death. A little better tonight, and not so much with Agnes. But I missed something last night. I missed a birthday. As of yesterday, the 25th day of January, in the year 1890, the United Mine Workers of America was born. The UMWA yesterday turned 116. And I wish I had mentioned it last night, but somehow it works tonight just as well. Because a long, long time ago, back in 1890, 1895, 1900, 1905, the mine wars in the New River coal fields, 1906, 1907, the Tug Fork mine wars, Blair Mountain, there was a phrase. What would happen is coal company officials would get someone out there, some disloyal, someone who despised their fellow man, and they would pay them to become a spy inside the union. And in so doing, that spy would feed all the vital information about the union's doings back to the company so that they could thwart them at every turn. Turn guns on them, shoot them, kill them, beat them, you know, whatever it took. And they had a phrase, when the union would find out that that had happened, they had a phrase. And that phrase was, "We've been sold. We've been sold. Sold out." Well, folks, it doesn't just apply to miners, and it doesn't just apply to unions, and it doesn't just apply to women, or it doesn't just apply to anyone. It applies to all Americans, even the ones who don't acknowledge it or believe it. We've been sold. And the saddest, most pathetic, most tragic, most heart-rending part of it all is the man who sold us is none other than Robert C. Byrd. I mean, you know what happened today. He announced that he's going to vote in favor of that bespectacled little freak, Samuel Alito. Ooh, there he goes. He's calling names again. I'm sorry. I don't like the man. I wouldn't cross the street to speak to him. I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire, Samuel Alito. I wouldn't do it. I have no respect for a man who sanctions feeling up a little 10-year-old girl in a drug bust. Nothing. I got nothing for that. More than that, I have no respect for a man who has no respect for the United States Constitution. There's been too much of my family's blood shed in defense of that Constitution for me to respect someone who despises it as much as Samuel Alito does. But what Robert Byrd did is, and if you don't live in West Virginia, you may not know it. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times. This state was bombarded with filthy, filthy, filthy radio ads paid for, I believe, by the Dobson crowd that said, "Tell your senators Rockefeller and Byrd not to vote with them liberals, that liberal Kennedy, but to vote like a West Virginian. And to vote for the good, godly, saintly, upstanding Samuel Alito." They ran those ads. I heard them myself. So, it was apparently effective. He sold us out in the name of the religion industry because those people took those numbers and, by God, they dialed in like it was the last phone call they were ever going to make. Half of these benighted fools don't even know what Samuel Alito stands for, but some religion industry charlatan told them to call and threaten Senator Byrd. And they did. And today, he sold us out to the religion industry. And you got to understand that there's no end to the stuff that Samuel Alito wants to see the end of. He said that the Americans with Disabilities Act is unconstitutional. You know, simply accommodating people who were born a little less fortunate than us in this society is unconstitutional. Everything, every decent piece of social legislation in Samuel Alito's world, in the way he thinks, every decent piece of social legislation that's ever been enacted in this country is probably unconstitutional. What else? Oh, I don't know. We started talking about the UMWA. How about the Fair Labor Standards Act? That's gone under Alito. You can bet. Well, the man's already written opinions where he says that corporations can base their hiring decisions on anything they want to, and they don't even have to say. They can actively discriminate against a person based on the color of their skin, and if they can get away with that in Samuel Alito's world, they can damn sure get away with blacklisting a man for being in a union. Yeah, really. So, if you go to Byrd's website, it's just sickening to behold, but if you go there, you can read his justification for saying that he will vote in favor of Sammy the Snake. He says that they had a 2-hour discussion. God, is this one of those things where somebody looks into somebody's soul again? No, they had a 2-hour discussion, and after their discussion, Senator Byrd said, and this is a quote, "I was very satisfied with what Judge Alito had to say about the First Amendment. He indicated that he felt the people have a very distinct right to express their religious views." Oh, how sweet, their religious views. Hey, Bob! Did I miss the rest of the First Amendment, or is the First Amendment just about religion? He said, "We're a very diverse nation, and there is room for all kinds of viewpoints here. People should have the right to express their views of religion. What about their views of politics, Senator Byrd? What about their views of the environment, Senator Byrd? What about their views of corporate cronyism and corporate thuggery, Senator Byrd? Or is it all just about religion in the First Amendment?" Daggummit, Senator Byrd. How could you let us down this way? How could you sell us this way? How could you just put us out that... God Almighty. There is only one way to look at this. Samuel Alito apparently appeals to some deep-seated core of theocratic leaning in Senator Byrd. We have freedom of religion as long as we're all religious, I guess. I just wish they'd tell me what the religion is so I can hurry up and join up before the people come in the night to take away the dissenters. Or better yet, tell me the religion, which religion it is, so I can not join up. Because I refuse to be told what I will think and what I will believe and how I will believe or if I will believe. Here's another quote. In the reams of... Oh, this is a dandy. In the reams of correspondence that I received during the Alito hearings. West Virginians who wrote to criticize the way in which the hearings were conducted used the same two words. People with no connection to one another, of different faiths, views, and opinions, independently and respectively, used the same two words to describe the hearings. They called them, quote, an outrage and, quote, a disgrace. Come on, Senator Byrd. Are you that naive? Really, are you that naive? Are you that senile? There's a reason they used the same words over and over and over again. The reason you saw those words, outrage and disgrace, time after time after time after time, is the reason that the FCC, the complaints they get about, you know, desperate housewives, the reason that they get those complaints all look the same. There's a reason for that. Daggummit, Senator Byrd, it's a script. It's a set piece. It's a con. It's a religion industry dog and pony show. It's wrestling, for heaven's sake, Senator Byrd. It's a cockfight with a hen in one corner. It's rigged. But then he goes on and he says, people with no connection to one another. Bug spray, Senator Byrd. We're not that dumb. Don't treat us like we are. We heard the sleazy radio ads here in West Virginia. They probably ran them in other states with different senators' names. Arkansas, I'll bet. I mean, after all, the Republicans only sent the John Kerry's Gonna Get Your Bible pamphlet. They only sent it to Arkansas and West Virginia. Because that's where they thought people would fall for that stupidity. So they probably ran the same ad somewhere else in other states. Other people have heard it. Tell your senator not to vote with them liberals like Kennedy. Ted Kennedy has more care for the United States in his little finger than in every single body in the Republican majority in the United States Senate. Ted Kennedy has seen his family ripped asunder. Literally seen the brains blown out their heads. Because of their love of country and filthy dog pigs like James Dobson wants to run an ad in West Virginia that says, tell Senators Byrd and Rockefeller not to vote with liberals like Ted Kennedy. God Almighty. If I had it in my power, I would call the damnation of Almighty God right down on James Dobson and his entire filthy organization's head for that kind of crap. So we know that those people with no connection to one another really did have a connection to one another. They sat in the churches and they heard it from the pulpit. Write to Senator Byrd, tell him to vote for that godly man. You know it. You've seen it. You know how they operate. Yeah, more from, here's what it says. These were handwritten, contemplative, old-fashioned letters written on lined paper and personal stationery. They were the sort of letters that people write while watching television in the comfort of their living rooms or sitting at the kitchen table. I hate a Judas. I hate a Judas, but I hate a lying Judas worse. And I call bug spray on that. Produce the letters, Senator Byrd. Produce them. I was born at night, not last night. You can't even get real mail into congressional offices in the time during which the Senate hearings have been going on. It has to be irradiated and checked for anthrax and all of that silly hooey. And it takes longer to get mail to your office than that now, Senator. Don't insult our intelligence. Oh, and here's another chunk. I regret that we have come to a place in our history when both political parties exhibit such a take-no-prisoners attitude. Damn it! Damn it, Senator Byrd! My side doesn't do that. You yourself, you voted for Johnny Robbs. You voted for John Roberts to go in as the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. You did that!
Where was the Democrats' take-no-prisoners attitude? What, 20-some-odd Democratic senators voted for that freak? Don't tell me both sides have a take-no-prisoners attitude. One side has a take-no-prisoners attitude, and apparently your side and you, sir, want to be the prisoner!
All sides seek to use the debate over a Supreme Court nominee to air their particular wish list for or against abortion, euthanasia, executive authority, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, wiretapping the death penalty workers' rights, gun control, corporate greed, and dozens of other subjects. He wrote, I don't know, some staffer wrote this. All of these issues should be debated, but the battle line should not be drawn on the judiciary. They should be debated by the people's representatives in Congress. Senator Byrd, the other side won't allow that debate to take place. You yourself have said so. You have called them drunk on power. You have said it with your own voice. And now you seek to mollify our side by saying that it's somehow my fault, liberals' fault, progressives' fault, Democrats' fault. Fault, Senator Byrd! Senator Byrd, you are wrong! However, too many Americans apparently believe that if they cannot get Congress to address an issue, they must take it to the court. As the saying goes, if you can't change the law, change the judge. You try that with your mouth breathers, Bob Byrd, but don't you try pulling that crap with me. It don't fly, it don't play. Because I'm not as stupid as they are. And we, the liberals, the progressives, the Democrats, the people who give of their nickels and their dimes and their quarters and their wadded up dollars to keep you in office, we're not that stupid! We don't buy it! You have gladly solicited my money, Robert Byrd! And you have gladly taken it. And you want to slip a shiv like Samuel Alito between my ribs? I'll be damned if I'll sit still while you do it. But here's the real kicker. This is the beauty. Quote, I met with Sam Alito. I spent close to 2 hours with him. I asked him what he thought about the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. Listen now. Sit down, civil libertarians. I told him that I believe the Supreme Court has gone too far in prohibiting the free exercise of religion in our country. You can't turn on a television without finding some TV preacher trying to get a little old lady to send in just a little bit more of her Social Security check. The radio waves. We talked about it maybe a week ago. There's a guy that wants to set up a station in Somersville that would give real, just a county away from here, that would give real service to Somersville and Nicholas County, West Virginia, with real people in the building. You know, doing real news, real public airwaves sort of, public mission kind of stuff. He's in a bidding war with a religious broadcaster from God knows where to get the frequency. Don't tell me, Senator Byrd, don't tell me about how the court has limited the free exercise of religion. You can't go 200 feet in this state without another church popping up. They're open every day of the week. Mega churches are on the rise through this nation like they have never been before. Services 4 times a day with 10,000 people at a time. You cannot tell me, Senator Byrd, that the court has in any wise whatsoever limited the free exercise of religion. say anything you want, Senator Byrd, but don't BS me. So, you know, that's basically it in a nutshell. But just in case you civil libertarians are still nervous, you know, he threw you a little sop, too, in his little remarks. Judge Alito told me that he respected the separation of powers and would not rule in support of a power-hungry president. That's right, civil libertarians. Sam Alito, a man who said women shouldn't be admitted to Princeton and then said he didn't say that, that told poor, feeble old Bob Byrd, trust me. And, you know, I'm sure Sammy the Sleaze won't vote in favor of a power-hungry president. I'm sure he was very sincere when he said that. The only problem is, Byrd didn't ask the follow-up question, and the follow-up question is, what constitutes a power-hungry president? The follow-up question is, Sam, do you think that George Bush is a power-hungry president since you've said you won't back one of those up? And you know what Sam's answer is? Heck no! George Bush isn't a power-hungry president. You know why? Because in Samuel Alito's world, the only power-hungry president is a Democratic president. And then, at the end of it all, the ultimate indignity. This. I know not exactly what kind of justice Samuel Alito may actually be. Where's my whistle? Time out. Time, Senator Byrd, buddy. That's not a reason to vote for a nominee. Not knowing what kind of a justice Samuel Alito will make is not a reason to vote for him. It's a reason to vote against him. Or maybe I'm just crazy. You know, if you don't know what kind of a justice Samuel Alito's going to be, how the hell can you vote to confirm him? I mean, if you don't know what kind of a justice he's going to be, for all you know, he's a closet Nazi. Hell, I think, no. Alito's out of the closet. Gee whiz. My heart is broken. You know, there are things I don't like to hear. Not because they break my heart. And I've heard it several times from my dad now. When I was 18 years old, why did I fight? When the Germans and the Japanese were a threat to the world, why did I fight? Why did we beat fascism back and destroy it, we thought? Why did we do that? Why did my brother die, he says, if it was all just so people like Sam Alito could tear everything that he fought and his brother died for, tear it all down? I don't have the answer to that question, and I can't look him in the eye and tell him I do. Somebody else will have to tell the 81-year-old man that it was all a waste. Maybe Senator Byrd can tell the 81-year-old man that it was all a waste. I can't do it. Now bear in mind, the vote, you know, alia jacta non est. The die is not cast yet. The crossing of the Rubicon, to use the metaphors of which Senator Byrd is so fond, has not been done. He has said he will vote for Alito, and generally he is a man of his word, and I believe, and he probably will. But as long as there is breath left, there is an opportunity. Just bombard his office with telephone calls. I said with telephone calls, Agent Fred, damn it. If you can't get through the Washington office, call his Charleston office. Let him know that we don't appreciate things like him taking $88,000 from Move On PAC and then turning around and slipping the shiv between our ribs. Sorry, I apologize. This just really pisses me off. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Okay, I might be breathing again. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. If you want to join in the program, you are, of course, more than welcome to do so. The phone number is 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Wow. 877-443-2366. And, of course, you can always get through to Bob at headonradio.com. How do you feel about this? You okay with this? I mean, look, I'm a pragmatist. I'm a realist. I expect a certain degree of political skullduggery, even political backstabbing. You know, back the year and a half ago or whatever it was when Senator Byrd voted in favor of the bankruptcy bill and against hurting families with terrible medical debt all over the country, I said, well, you know, maybe that's a positioning thing. You know, he saw it was going to go down, it was going to pass, so he added his vote to yes, so that maybe some potential Republican challenger couldn't challenge him with that. And I used the same excuse when he voted. When he voted to close the courthouse doors to people, you know, groups of people who have been poisoned and burned and killed and maimed by evil, you know, just nasty evildoer corporations. When he voted on the class action so-called reform, I said, well, you know, this guy's dad, you know, he didn't just fall off the turnip truck. He must have had a reason, right? And I said the same thing when he voted in favor of John Roberts. Well, you know, he'll really, if a real freak comes down, he'll draw a line in the sand. Because, you know, this guy loves the Constitution more than almost God Almighty. And then the real freak came down. And he won't draw the line in the sand. And yet he's more than willing to take nickels and dimes from poor people and middle-class people who believe that he would stand up and fight for them. Yes, yes, dear?
I have a sound clip.
Okay.
Hold on.
Is this what you do at work, Kate? Research methods to deceive people, refine lies until they resemble truth? It's no wonder you dread your work week.
Oh, man. I don't have time for this.
What has happened to the world? You have every convenience, every comfort, yet no time for integrity.
No. What I don't have time for are speech who've never had to work a day in their life.
You have no idea what I've done with my life.
And you have no idea what I've done with mine. I haven't had all that many comforts and conveniences, Leopold, because I've been paying dues all of my life. And I'm tired, and I need a rest. And if I have to peddle a little pond scum to get one, then so be it.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than the...
Now, my idea is this. Senator Byrd has always talked about constitutional rights and how he was poor when he was little and how he stood up for the working class. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you're on your deathbed. You still don't need to peddle pond scum. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
It's pond scum.
Yeah. Very true, dear. Very true. Some of Senator Byrd's words for you now. Quote, I believe in this beautiful country. I have studied its roots and gloried in the wisdom of its magnificent Constitution. I have marveled at the wisdom of its founders and framers. Generation after generation of Americans has understood the lofty ideals that underlie our great republic. I have been inspired by the story of their sacrifice and their strength. But today, I weep for my country. I have watched the events of recent months with a heavy, heavy heart. No more is the image of America one of strong yet benevolent peacekeeper. The image of America has changed. Around the globe, our friends mistrust us, our word is disputed, our intentions are questioned. Instead of reasoning with those with whom we disagree, we demand obedience or threaten recrimination. Instead of isolating Saddam Hussein, we seem to have isolated ourselves. We proclaim a new doctrine of preemption which is understood by few and feared by many. We say that the United States has the right to turn its firepower on any corner of the globe which might be suspect in the war on terrorism. We assert that right without the sanction of any international body. As a result, the world has become a much more dangerous place. We flaunt our superpower status with arrogance. We treat UN Security Council members like ingrates who offend our princely dignity by lifting their heads from the carpet. Valuable alliances are split. After the war has ended, the United States will have to rebuild much more than the country of Iraq. We will have to rebuild America's image around the globe. Senator Robert Byrd, March 19th, 2003. Now, you want the real gutbuster on this one? Senator Byrd says he will vote in favor of Samuel Alito. And even Joseph Lieberman, yea, verily, Joseph Lieberman, says he will vote against him. The man who got the Judas kiss from George Bush at last year's State of the Union address will vote against Samuel Alito. But my senator, that paragon of constitutional dignity, that guardian of constitutional rights and responsibilities and powers, Senator Byrd can only hear the clarion call of the weirdo right-wing religion industry. And you know what? For those of you who, are in West Virginia, you probably already know the Republican Party, the National Republican Party, is absolutely jumping for joy right now. You know why? Because for the first time since Jesus was a private in the army of God, Senator Byrd has an opponent in the general election who has money by the boatload, a guy named John Racey. Yeah, sure does. And John Racey will spend and spend and spend and spend to defeat Senator Byrd. That's why Senator Byrd has done what he did. Is that okay? Done what he did? It's not, yeah, okay. Yeah, has done what he has done what he has done. Because he thinks that the mouth-breathing knuckle-walkers will vote for him in droves as long as he toes the mark that is established by James Dobson and the right-wing Christo-fascists who put together things like Sunday Justice Sunday 1, 2, and 3. And I don't know about you. No, that's not all, folks. I don't know about you, but I get a fundraising email from Senator Byrd every so often. Sure do need your money there, brother. To help defeat the Republicans and help return the Senate to majority hands. Sure do need your money, brother. And these solicitations go out without regard or without knowledge of whether or not we've got enough money to pay our bills, feed our family, put food on our family, put clothes on our table, food on our children, whatever. They just want the money. And apparently they did move on, the much vilified move on, them liberals did a fantastic job for Senator Byrd, raising $88,000 for him. And this is the thanks that Move On gets. This is the thanks that I get, that you get, who've scraped nickels and pennies and dimes and quarters together. This is the thanks we get. And the sad thing is, the same people that were calling his office saying, "Don't vote with that liberal Ted Kennedy," those are the same ones who sit around and go and call him Sheets Bird and giggle when Rush Limbaugh does it. These are the same people who call him Clan Bird or Claven Bird. And here's a news flash for you. They weren't gonna vote for him in the first place. Because they're mugwump Republicans. And they would vote for a dead fish laying on the beach before they would cross a party line and vote for a Democrat. And yet, Senator Byrd chooses to play to those people instead of the people who have gone door to door for him, who were ready to hit the streets with their feet at the prospect of someone like Archmore's daughter Shelley running against him. Who would have given the last full measure of devotion, so to speak, in advancement of his campaign. Well, here we are, Senator Byrd. Here we are. And I tell you this, I've overlooked a lot. I will not, I absolutely will not overlook this. Because if I overlook this, I can never cast my eyes upon the Constitution of the United States of America ever again and not remember that I betrayed it in its hour of most profound need. The arrogance of power indeed, Senator Byrd, the arrogance of power indeed. Power such as you have to take money from hard-working middle-class liberals and progressives and turn around and spit in their face, as you have done today. Senator Byrd will now need the vote of every single person he can get, because John Racey will smear him, defame him, tear him to ribbons. But you know what I think you lost today, Senator Byrd? You may not have lost the election in November, Senator Byrd, because there are a whole bunch of West Virginians who would still vote for you in a race against Jesus Christ himself, and among those there are some who probably think you are Jesus Christ. You'll probably win the election, but you will have to scramble, and you will have to work, and you will have to hustle your 87-year-old body like back when you were young, and you're not going to like it. And there would have been people there for you, Senator Byrd. People like me, who would have pounded the pavement and knocked on doors and talked patiently to people who would say, yeah, but what about the bankruptcy? But, well, you know, he had to do that. Who will make your excuses for you, Senator Byrd. But you know what, Senator Byrd? I don't dare speak for anyone else, only myself. And I will dare to speak for my beloved wife. We won't do it, Senator Byrd. We won't do it. What does it say in that Bible you're so fond of? That if, heavens to Betsy, it seems to be evading me. But it's something about, if you won't acknowledge me, I won't acknowledge you. Well, it works in politics, too, and it works in the life of the republic. This once great republic, Senator Byrd, it works there, too. Let me explain it more fully. You will not have my effort. You will not have another thin damn dime of my money. And while I will not, and never, I never have and never will, vote for a Republican, by God, Senator Byrd, I will not vote for you. I will, in the primary, I will leave your box blank. And in the general election, barring the appearance of some third-party candidate that I could actually stand, I will leave your name blank there, too. But, Senator Byrd, I won't just do that. My wife will do that. And we will tell everyone who will bother to listen to us to the point that we seem like insane people standing on the side of the road. We will tell people, we will remind people what you, sir, what you who hold yourself out as a great defender of the Constitution of these United States, we will tell people what you did when you were called in the heat of the crucible to do. We will tell people what you have done to the Constitution with your vote for Samuel Alito. By God, we will tell them, Senator Byrd. We will tell them. And we're pretty good communicators. You know, I don't just do things, and I don't just ask people to do things. I give a very good reason when I do so. Oh, Senator Byrd, you lost a lot today. Now, there yet remains time, Senator, there yet remains time that you, sir, may find the foot of the cross, so to speak. And the foot of that cross is not among the religion industry. You have time. What will he do? What will Senator Byrd do? John Kerry is calling for a filibuster. John Kerry, for God's sakes, where did you... Bless my hide. Now, there is a cloture vote scheduled for Monday at 4:30 p.m. If the Democrats can get 41 senators to vote against cloture, then Alito is filibustered. That's 41. We have 44 Democratic senators. Byrd has bailed on us. Tim Johnson has bailed on us, and Ben Nelson has bailed on us. 44 minus 3 is 41. The walls of the Alamo are shaky. But that vote is scheduled for Monday at 4:30. What will Senator Byrd do? Because, you know, again, let's go through the procedure. The cloture vote is called. When 41 votes are cast for cloture, where will you be, Senator Byrd? I stood at the Tamarack Center in Beckley and heard him read from the Bible, "By your fruits ye shall know them." Senator Byrd, by your fruits we shall know you. This is no time for the faint of heart. This is America at the crossroads. This is America in jeopardy. This is America in peril. This is the nomination of a man who will strike down everything. You say you don't know enough to know whether he'll be, what kind of justice he'll be? I do. I've read his cases. I know how he thinks. I know I wouldn't trust that man in an outhouse with a muzzle on. I know, Senator Byrd. How about you? By their fruits ye shall know them. What will we know about you on Monday at 4:30, Senator Byrd? What will we know about you? Because, you see, Bill Frist still thinks he will go nuclear if we manage to defeat cloture. What will you do, Senator Byrd? What will you do when Bill Frist overturns 201 years of Senate tradition in favor of reasonable debate? What will you do, Senator? You've said you'll vote in favor of Alito, but what will you do before then? What will you do? Will you go along with Bill Frist and play the Judas bird? Not the Judas goat, the Judas bird. Will you go that far, Senator Byrd? Will you? I wonder about you now. I can't trust you now. And that is the saddest thing of all. You've lost my vote. Unless you change your ways, you have lost my vote. Sadder than that, though, is that you have lost my trust. I don't trust you to do the right thing in reforming MSHA, Senator Byrd. I don't. I can't. Fool me once. See, I can get this right. Dear leader couldn't get it out of his mouth. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And it's not just me, Senator Byrd. It's a whole bunch of us that think this way. You've never said a cross word to the people who blow up mountaintops and destroy southern West Virginia and make it easier for floods to come rushing down valleys. You've never said a cross word about Massey Energy, Senator Byrd. Maybe that's why Don Blankenship is keeping his filthy mouth shut about your campaign. His mouth may be shut, Senator Byrd, but his wallet will be open. It's a pity that you can't see who your friends are, Senator Byrd. It is literally a crying shame. My faith in the Republic is literally shaking. I saw a statement from Senator Landrieu of Louisiana. Now, she hasn't said she'll vote for Alito, but she did say, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty close on this, she said that the Congress has too much work to do for a filibuster right now. Senator Landrieu, the Congress has too much work to do not to filibuster right now. Those Republicans want their Patriot Act, and they want it bad. They want that uniformed Secret Service division with unlimited arrest powers, unlimited warrantless arrest powers. They want it. Oh, they want it so bad they can taste it, Senator. And they'll give up almost anything to get it, because being Republicans, they have no loyalty. And they will sell out Samuel Alito faster than you can say lickety split. Oh. Mighty interesting days coming. I want to hear what you have to think about it. I want to hear what you got to say. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere.
Second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. A couple of emails have rolled in the interim. Our good friend Bo says maybe we should all sign a farewell card to Bird and send it to him along with a glass of milk and a message that says, please warm, drink milk, and take a nap. And Bo makes a good point. What really scares me, he says, is that the majority of voters are fed up with his BS, and they vote for the other side. We need a candidate, Bo says. Now, let's be very clear about this. I have never and I will never advocate voting for a Republican, because I have never seen a Republican who even begins to share my traditional family values with me. I don't need corporate cronyists taking any more power in this country than they already have. But while I would not advocate you voting for Senator Byrd's opponent, who will most likely be John Racey, I believe it is safe to vote with your feet. Walk out of the booth and leave Senator Byrd's box blank, especially in the primary. Especially in the primary. Like I said, I've taken a lot of, I've defended a lot of indefensible crap from that man in the last couple of years. And this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. So, no, you will never tune into this program and hear me say, hey, why don't you vote for a Republican? That is not going to happen. On the other hand, especially in the primary, leave his name blank. Our friend Annette emails and says, what can I say? I'm heartsick and angry. We're going to have to work hard to find someone who can and will run against him in the primary. There's only one problem. We got 2 days. We got 2 days. The filing period ends like noon Saturday. She says, I've always trusted him to work for my best interest and the best interest of the whole country. I can't trust him anymore. He will never get my vote again. That's the point. He has violated the trust of the people who put him in office. Do you really believe that guff about him getting all those letters? I don't. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to do the Doubting Thomas thing here. When I see him, I'll believe him. And I'll bet you that if I sat down and analyzed them, I could compare them with a suggested script from the Dobson gang or any number of other, well, you know, Sunday Justice Sunday. We've got their little packet. We know what the letters look like. The fact that they come in different handwriting doesn't mean that they came from a different source.
Well, wait a minute. I sent him a letter. Does that mean I don't exist?
You emailed him.
Exactly. But that's a letter.
Kinda.
And I'm religious.
Apparently not the right one.
Evidently not the right one. Is this the one that gets the mark? So that the rapture will come?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm fed up with this.
Yeah, I'm sick to death with it, too.
And when you and I differ, if I ever saw a Republican that thought and felt the way about the issues that I did, I would vote for them. I don't care what party.
That's not a difference of opinion, dear.
I don't care what party you are. It depends on what you stand for and what you've done for your country, not against it. And this is against it.
Well, I understand, but the reason I say I will never vote for a Republican is I know the Republican Party. They do not produce candidates with whom I can agree.
Hello.
I've certainly never heard one to this day. My, and yeah,
there's a boatload of people who listen to this program, and I've gotten email after email after email saying, you know, Bob, you know, because I suggested that we apply a little pressure to Senator Byrd and say, you know, this is unacceptable. This man is unacceptable. There have been boatloads of phone calls to Senator Byrd's office and emails. Shall I understand that they just don't print the emails and they only print the snail mail that they get? Or they only read the snail mail that they get? Shall I understand that? Is that the point here? I don't believe it. Let's go to the phones. Rick is with us calling from Florida. Hey, Rick, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, I just usually I download your shows the following day, and I've been listening for months and months, but the situation allowed me to get to listen live for the first time. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks.
Well, hey, you got a great show. I was very disappointed when you disappeared. I'm so glad that White Rose is streaming you and carrying the archives. You do a hell of a job there.
Yes, indeed. Ben's a great guy.
Yep. I mean, for what he does, for what he or they are able to accomplish for all of us people in the minority, it's just wonderful to have that kind of reservoir of good stuff. So I appreciate and send out a big thank you to the Birch people.
Great.
Anyway, I wanted to just comment on this thing with Byrd, because I am really shocked that this guy would fold up like this, like an old chair. I mean, I've always referred to Byrd as the old gray stallion.
Mm-hmm.
I've even emailed him several times and just complimented him when he would stand up and just shame these people on the Senate floor. And for him to do this, it's as if like someone got to him, you know. And I heard, you know, Randy Rhodes today. As a matter of fact, I heard you on Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I could. And you're both quite correct. And, you know, she says he's a big pork guy, and you know, like, but you know, it just seems to me that he's so far out of phase with himself. It's as if they just dropped a file with him, you know, with something compromising. I just cannot believe that a man like this could be so radically changed in the blink of an eye.
Well, I don't think it. I gotta tell you, I don't think it was in the blink of an eye. I mean, that segment that I read earlier, and it's on his website. You know, this was a month ago, a month and a half ago. This thing came out where he said he sat down and looked into his soul or whatever, talked to him for 2 hours, and told him that we didn't have enough religious freedom.
Oh, well, I missed that then.
And back then, Rick, I started saying, "Oh, this is worrisome. I'm getting the creeps about this," because all you know, waving a Bible in front of Bob Byrd is like waving a red blanket in front of a bull.
Well, I understood he was religious, but I had no idea he was a fanatic. He never came across that way. He always came across as a constitutionalist.
Oh yeah, exactly. But the thing is, when you're doing what the Dobson people have done in this state, and that is running all these filthy ads saying that, you know, that Bob Byrd will suddenly morph into Ted Kennedy if he votes against Alito, and you get the mouth-breathing faithful, and you know we politic in the pulpit here in West Virginia, don't you?
Well, I've heard you have your problems.
And I have no doubt that that's gone down in every Baptist church in West Virginia.
But, I mean, still, though, if you're going to deal in the rational, in the real rational world, what this man can't possibly think that Dobson or any of these creepy people have a direct line to God, and that his salvation is solely in their hands.
Well, but you've got, but still, Rick, you've got to time it out, okay? Because Byrd had a chance to talk a day and a half, or 2 days ago, and he got up during the debate on Alito and talked about MSHA. Remember that?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay,
I
watched
hearings, but I didn't catch that part of it.
Yeah, Republicans are standing out speaking for Alito. Democrats are standing out speaking against Alito. And Byrd stands up in the middle of it all and starts talking about mine safety. No kidding, he did that. And said, I mean, not nothing about Samuel Alito. But one thing happened yesterday, Rick, one thing. And that was the filing of multimillionaire John Racey to run against him as a Republican.
Well, okay, but then again, you said that these tippings, this tipping point started a month ago, so either he knew that that was about to pop or it's not related at all. I mean, it sounds to me, it sounds like that they have, I can't help it. There's something that, for a guy this old, this guy is old. He's going to meet God in person soon.
Yeah.
You know, unless he gets to be really blessed and lives to be 110 or 20, which the Bible says you could easily do. But I mean, but the thing of it is that, you know, if you're going to go with the common norms, I mean, he should be more afraid or more respectful of God's judgment on him than he should be these people and his seat in the Senate and all these other things, if he's anywhere near to what I thought he was. And maybe I've just been taken in by him. That's very possible that because I come, you know, I'm an older guy, I'm 50 years old, and I mean, you know, it's very possible that because he was reminiscent of Kennedy to me, that kind of dignity and respect,
mm-hmm.
that kind of error. And that was reminiscent to me, and perhaps I was just taken in by my own illusions, you know, my own perspective of the past.
I don't think so. I don't think you were taken in. I mean, the man has real gravitas, the you know, dignitas. I mean, this guy is literally an old Roman. I think he's a reincarnated Roman or something. But there's something, you're right, maybe I'm oversimplifying, but there is something here that does not add up. Something doesn't match.
Well, I know, every time I see these guys, like that guy from Nebraska, now I don't know much about him, but all of a sudden he's going to, I mean, you'd expect it from Lieberman, but when I see these Democrats all of a sudden start, you know, doing these weird flip-flops that are totally against their self-interest, I mean, there's nothing that they're doing. By voting for Alito, they're voting themselves out of not only power and office, but who knows, possibly right into some kind of strange re-education camp, for all I know. As bizarre as that sounds, who can say what's not possible these days? And when they do that, it's as if Rove or somebody just dropped off a FedEx and said, well, here's the picks, boys. You know?
Yeah.
It's too weird. It's too weird.
Well, I mean, I still think, I mean, it does smell like the fix is in, Rick, but the proof is in the pudding, and I, you know, what will, you know, saying I will vote for Alito assumes that he gets a chance to. Now, oddly enough, it seems that his announcing that he would vote in favor of Alito lit the fire under people like Ted Kennedy and John Kerry, and now they're talking filibuster, and they're talking it hard. And they no sooner said that than Bill Frist ran out and scheduled a vote on Monday on cloture Monday at 4:30.
Yeah, I mean, I said, well, now the fur is going to fly for sure. It's going to fly, but I mean, it just isn't there. They're saying they now have at least three, possibly four Democrats that are going to side with Alito, and I've even seen like what are they calling them? The Alito supporter eight or something.
Yeah, well, the three for sure are Ben Nelson and Byrd. And Tim Johnson from South Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just, so that's three. And Lieberman, for Pete's sakes, I mean, I know what he's doing. He's pro-Alito, but he's voting because it's safe. He does this every time. Every time he knows that something's going to go down on a Republican straight line, he'll just throw everybody a bone and vote against it because his vote didn't matter. But if it comes crunch time, you can almost bet that Lieberman will get up and make some kind of ridiculous, you know, drawn-out, melancholy speech about
him nailed.
Yeah, about how the Senate, the traditions of the Senate and all this and blah, blah, blah. I am forced through my honor and morality to go with the Republicans. I mean, he's such a creep. I don't even know how the people in Connecticut can take it. He must come from the Richards side there, what do they call that, the Greenfield or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can expect it from people like him, but when these other fellas do this type of stuff, you've got to start saying, hey, Larry Flint, would you check this out and see what's going on?
Hey, you may have the answer.
Yeah, Larry Flint needs to weigh in and say, Okay.
Yeah, but I don't want
to find out. You know?
But, you know, Bird's 87. I don't want to see the pictures. Just find out for us, would you, Larry? You know,
yeah. Yeah, don't tell us. Just tell us whether it's if we're correct or not. I mean, for all we know, it's an old picture back from his, say, Klan days. You know, it could
yeah.
be something like that. It doesn't have to be something anything to do with something sexual or nothing like that. It could just be some old Klan picture or something that he doesn't want to judge up because he's worked very hard to distance himself and recuperate and possibly even repent from that kind of behavior.
Well, is it possible, Rick? Is it possible that this is all a dog and pony show that was meant to galvanize people like Kennedy and Kerry?
Boy, it could be. It would be wonderful if our side could think of something like that, but to put that kind of, kind of anticipation in the hands of the Democratic Party is almost like saying, hey, there's aliens in my kitchen.
Yeah, I know, and it's probably a little Pollyanna-ish on my part,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because we're only famous for the circular firing squad and not much else, if you think about it. I mean, jeez. But, I mean, I hope so. I hope so that maybe he's finding a way to be able to get this done and at the same time get done what he needs to get done personally.
Well, you know, I mean, your phone rings through to Washington, too. Don't, you know, you've got a day to call him.
Oh, yeah, he will be called, just like the others have been called, and he will be faxed.
Well,
and I certainly will do. But, Bob, it's been great to talk.
Good to talk to you, too, Rick, and look forward to hearing from you again whenever the opportunity presents itself.
You sure will, and a great show, and your missus is doing a fine job, better and better every day her production skills are getting.
Well, thank you so very much, and you have a great evening, all right?
You too, pal.
Bye now.
All right, bye.
And let's see. Bob is with us on line one. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
What came first, chicken or the egg?
I always said chicken.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Me either.
I guarantee you something that you don't even realize, most of the country don't realize, because what came before the Constitution?
The Articles of Confederation.
No.
Yeah.
How about that Declaration?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Declaration of Independence, sure.
Yeah, and what does that thing start out with? I'm sure you got it in your heart. It's just a...
When in the course of human events, that part?
Yeah. When in the course of human events. It, okay. I'm not gonna recite it. It takes a little while. But somebody ought to look back and realize that before the Constitution that Robert Byrd loved so much, there came something else. A people stood up and said, we the people, okay?
Yep.
Okay? And went in the course of human events. Okay? It becomes self-evident.
It becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another.
That's right. And it's time for this. There's no Democrats. There's no Republicans anymore. There are the neocrats. Okay?
Yeah.
The neocrats. They're just kind of like rats. You know, like them things scurrying around under your feet that you want to trap. But
yeah.
Get out of your house.
Yep.
It's time that we throw them out of the House. We throw them out of the Senate. And, hey, you got a couple of neocrats, Karl Rove definitely looks like a crat to me. I say crat.
Yep.
You know, because it's a cowardly rat. It's just a punk. It's just something that I could just whoop up on any day of the week, and they wane it.
Well, you know,
push me forward into the line.
Well, the point here, though, Bob, is, you know, you make it very well. That line from the Declaration of Independence, to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another. Our friend Wayne has remarked from time to time that, you know, so what if a few of these mugwumps want to get out of the party? Let them go. We'll take the core that we're left with, and we'll build from there. But at least we'll know who's on our side.
Can you say it's time?
Yeah, it is. It's time, Bob.
Hey, we don't need no them bootlickers. We don't need none of them. We don't need any of them. We don't. Hey, we can grow our own food. We can make our own wine. We can you know, we can do all those things. We've been doing it since time immemorial. I mean, people have always worked as a community, okay?
Yeah.
But they have divided community against community against community. State. Oh, good Lord, Bob. They say that you're in a different state than I am. I don't know what state that is because, hey, I don't live in a state. I live as a being.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not surrounded by a border. No. It's only lines written in the sand. They wrote them. They drove them into our hearts. They pounded them into our minds. And they made us believe that we were separate. But guess what?
What's that?
You speak across the world, son. You do. You talk to people in Australia. You talk to people in Wales and in Germany. And, you know, you talk to people. But they're not any different.
No.
Not a one of them. I haven't heard anybody come on this show, not once, that said that, hey, I don't agree with you unless I got this strange kind of a drawl to my tongue and it's kind of like dragging me down, you know, and I'm just huffing and puffing like a puppy and, you know, kind of been running too hard.
Yeah.
And following after the big dog. And I just want to be like the big dog. And eventually if I lick his, you know, enough, I can be him.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's all they are. Just a bunch of pack of dogs running one after the other, licking on the other one because it makes the other one happy. Okay,
that's a hell of an image, Bob.
Huh?
That's a hell of an image.
Well, it's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't lie to nobody. I just tell you my heart, and I tell you what I think. I've said a couple things I didn't mean to say.
No, I understand.
But it's just out of pure regret. Pure regret. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a regret because, you know, I used to follow that old line, you know, like, you know, everybody does. They just fall into a trap. And the trap is this, that there is a separation between people, black or white. There's a separation between people, whether they're red or yellow. And you know, I've never met any of those people. Now, I've never met a black man. I've never met a white man. I've never met a red man. I've never met a yellow man. I have never met any of those people, but they put them into boxes, little boxes on a hillside, and they're all made out of tic-tac-y. And the tic-tac-y is this. Tic-tac-y is Robert Byrd, because he just goes with the little boxes. He plays the game, and whatever suits him, he doesn't give a hoot in hell about the Constitution. He cares about Robert Byrd. Whenever he can drag it out there and drawl on about this, that, and the other point that he wants to do, and he can kind of pretend he's a real man, he'll do it. He's been doing it all his life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back to the beginning, okay, when we tear... You know, hey, they've already torn up the Constitution. They flushed it down the toilet, and our... Der Fuhrer calls it Der... What the heck does he call it again? A GD piece of paper?
A GD piece of paper, that's right.
Yeah, a GD piece of paper. Okay, well, he can wipe his GD arse with it.
And he has been, believe me.
Okay, and then he can puddle off to wherever he puddles off to, okay? He can just kind of toddle off like he does a little Nero fascist, okay? He can puddle off there, but guess what, Bob? There's that first document, the one where we said, okay, this is where we separate the men from the boys, and it starts with when in the course of human events.
Yeah, not American events or English events or German events, human events.
Human.
Sure.
Human events. And we're in a human event right now. We're in one that's, hey, it's our grandchildren or my grandchildren and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children future. It has nothing to do with these United States. Because, hey, we've been torn apart in a lot of different, and they draw lots of lines. But, you know, I've driven from here to South Dakota and into Nebraska and, you know, on down the line, and I've been east of Minnesota. But here's a question for you.
Okay.
You want to know why it's so windy in North Dakota?
Sure.
Montana blows and Minnesota sucks.
I think we get your point. Hey, Bob, we got to roll on. It's break right. time. Good to hear from you. Take care.
Love you, bye.
Bye now. Those people in those boxes. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Any man loud talking spends a night in a box. You got questions, you come to me. I'm responsible for order in here. Any man don't keep order spends a night in the box. I hope you ain't going to be a hard case.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. So this right-wing troll on a message board was trying to downplay Bush's illegal wiretapping by saying he found it funny that we're criticizing Bush for adhering to an idea that's one of the core beliefs of Democrats and liberal-minded governments around the world. The idea that the rights of society outweigh the rights of the individual. This is, of course, crapola. Yeah, liberals believe in the idea of a greater community, of being part of something larger than yourself, and of everyone's shared responsibility as citizens. And there are occasions when the greater needs of society are more important than individual needs. But this isn't one of those cases. No liberal I ever met has ever believed in allowing the government to do and get away with acts that are clearly illegal. What Mr. Bush and his administration are doing are, to my mind at least, clearly against both individual liberty and the liberty of society overall. It's an issue that ought to be bipartisan, but in this day and age, any issue can be turned into a partisan one. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not sure what reason this troll had by instigating trouble. I'm not even going to pretend I understand why they continue to support an administration that's among the most, if not the most, corrupt and incompetent administrations we've ever had. Maybe they don't see that what these people are doing is a threat to their liberties as well as mine. But it seemed pretty clear to me that, for this guy anyway, having a Republican president was more important than having an American one. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now, he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
Oh,
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Back. Okay, 21 minutes and change before the hour, and break time's over. Back on your head. Let's go back to the phones. Bob is with us calling from Butler, PA. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right. Hey, I was reluctant to call and put this on the air because I'm thinking, man, this is really crazy. I'm thinking, you know, something else has to be going on here.
Yeah, well, you kind of almost have to. I mean, I thought I had it all sewed up with the religious angle, but apparently I don't.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, what was it? Barack Obama, didn't he a couple days ago say he wasn't sure what way he was going to vote on this?
He sure did.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This has got to be... Did they, like, get together, like, a year ago or 6 months ago or whatever and say, hey, guys, you know what? We're going to have to pull a fast one here. We figured out a way to get rid of him after he gets on the court. Remember?
Well,
what was that thing that Harry, what's his name, came up with? He locked down the Senate or the House?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Harry Reid.
Yeah, everybody said, where the heck did that rule come from?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, man, you know what? They might just have another rule out there about what to do once a guy gets on the Supreme Court. You can do something. Maybe they know he committed a crime, that is punishable by, like, death or something, you know? And maybe, I mean, you got to be able to get rid of a guy on the Supreme Court if he murders somebody. There's got to be a way.
Well, I mean, the only thing prescribed constitutionally, Bob, is impeachment. And
okay, well, you know, for whatever offense, and then, well, I don't. Is it like with the president? You can impeach the president, but he's still in office.
Well, I mean, impeach. Well, the whole process I describe it as impeachment, but yeah, impeached in the House, tried in the Senate, and removed from office.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, they did that. They did that to Alcee Hastings when he was a federal district judge in Florida. Now he's in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sitting here for like 2 weeks making phone calls and thinking, my God, what the heck is going on here? And Obama says what he said, and then here, oh my Lord. I mean, this thing can't be the way it seems. It just cannot be.
Well, but what if it is, Bob?
We're screwed.
Bad.
Sorry and about the wording. But
No. That we can say.
Oh, okay.
No, but we are. I mean, and I think...
you know what?
I'd like to... Bob, I would like to believe that this is all a great big chess game, and finally the leading lights of the Senate, on the Democratic side of the Senate, have come together, and they've got and they've already got the checkmate figured out after moving after the first pawns moved. I'd love to believe that.
I would, too. The only other thing I can think of is if worse comes to worse and we do go down, I mean, we can only go down so far before the rest of the world nukes us.
Phew.
You know?
Well, no,
and then we can, as we burn, we can say, see?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, cold comfort, Bob. But now there's a scenario where, you know, Israel nukes Iran, Iran nukes Israel,
yeah,
and somebody nukes Israel, and we nuke them, and they nuke us, and the next thing, you know.
And I'm trying to get off of my my medication here all at the same time.
Yeah, don't. You know, little steps for little feet, you know, Bob?
Well, I know. It's so freaky. I mean, if anybody survives this and they look back from 100 years in the future and they look back on this, I wonder what it's going to look like.
It's going to look like we were fools.
Yeah, it's going to be so stinking interesting.
Well, you know, you're gonna have if and it's like that old what was the song, you know, in the year 2525, if anybody's still alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that used to be kind of campy and kitschy and stuff, and now it's like, wow, that's geez.
See, even back then, I had the same kind of thought process. So, you know, I'm used to being depressed.
Well, but again, you know, so there are people out there that are hell-bent for leather on nuclear war. George Bush, you got to remember, Bob, this guy grew up picking, when he was a kid, him and his buddies would pick up frogs, stuff M-80s up their butts, and light them and throw them in the air and watch them blow up. They think flesh blowing up is cool.
I grew up with people like this. And
you know, I mean,
which is why I've always felt on the outside, and why I was so absolutely fantastically happy to find White Rose and Air America and, you know, you guys, and just gee whiz, you know, like here it is, and thank goodness somebody else is saying what I've been thinking since I was like 8 years old.
Well, the sad thing is, though, Bob, you know, these people who blew up frogs, for God's sakes, now they want to see what happens when the nuclear bomb goes pop.
Yeah.
You know, Hamas has won the election in the Palestinian territories, and George Bush says we're not going to have anything to do with them. Now, they were legitimately, democratically elected. And, you know, we hate them because
they're
terrorists.
You know what? No,
they're not terrorists to their own people, Bob.
I know they aren't. They're doing very good things for their own people.
They feed the hungry, they clothe the naked, they house the homeless. That's the Hamas that the Palestinians know.
I know.
But we're gonna goad them into doing something really nasty to Israel so that Israel can do something nasty to them.
I think there's a plan on the Republican and not Republican. There's a plan on the Bushite side And I hate to put his name to everything because I think there's an overall thought process involved here that includes him and it includes all of his friends and everybody that's rich, and that is that this country doesn't matter whether it survives or not. They feel just as much at home in Saudi Arabia as they do here.
Well, we've seen them kiss.
And they can move lock, stock, and barrel to Saudi Arabia and still have their businesses going in whatever continent still survives a nuclear holocaust and start from scratch.
this is even worse than watching on the beach.
Uh-huh.
No, you're right.
I know. It's so freaky. It's like I'm waiting to wake up, and I'm not waking up.
You are awake in the nightmare.
I know.
This is.
I don't want to admit that.
This is where some of that Zen comes in handy. Okay. You know, it's all a nightmare, and we're all dreaming through it.
Please don't try to wake me up, because I'll find out I already am.
Oh, I know.
Lord.
It's terrifying. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate your thoughts. You have a great evening. Hope we'll hear from you again.
All right.
Take it easy. We are awake in the nightmare. I mean, the dear leader said it today. Or was it yesterday? No, it was today. You know, Hamas may have won that election, but we won't have any dealings with anybody who wants to hurt our ally Israel. Well, you know, maybe if Israel would, but no, that's that whole chain of events thing. Israel rockets the house. Some Hamas member straps on a bomb. Yeah, from the Associated Press, the United States will not deal with Hamas as long as the group seeks Israel's destruction. Well, what are we going to do then? What are we going to do? You know, I got this other story here, headline, Bush confident warrantless wiretaps legal. Well, you know, I guess he probably is because he can say that kind of thing now that he's going to get Sammy the Sleaze on the court. Because like I said, there's no, in Sammy the Sleaze's world, there is no such thing as a power-hungry president as long as he's a Republican. Now, Democrat? I wouldn't be surprised if Sammy Alito was more than willing to, there's something in the Constitution about no ex post facto laws, no bills of attainder. Well, you know, under the unitary presidency, if the unitary president decides that he needs an ex post facto law or a bill of attainder, Sammy Alito thinks he can have one. Memo to Bill Clinton, leave the country? Really? Because in Alito world, man, you're still at risk. They still want Bill Clinton. They are still mad at him for getting what he got. These poor, weird, sex-deprived Republicans. You know, they remind me of that old Monty Python skit about, you know, does she go? Does she? Does she? Yeah, all right, does she go? And you go, you know, does she like photographs? And you go all the way through that, and Eric Idle at the end says, what's it like? That's the Republicans. What's it like? You know, if they could just get Bill Clinton tied down to a chair somewhere in a room and shine a bright light on his face and say, no, really, just tell us what it was like with Monica. Oh, my God. Our wives won't do that. They might be happy. No. More detail. More detail. No, tell us about the cigar part again. We really like that. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fair, I guess. I just wanted to call in my disappointment on Bird.
I'm brokenhearted and disgusted, Ed.
Huh?
I'm brokenhearted and disgusted.
Yeah. There's something wrong. Either there's something in the air, I believe, that causes people to turn heathen on us somewhere. because everything, it seems like everywhere you turn, it's bad news or disaster. And it's just, it's not only depressing, it's sort of confusing why people change. And he's always been, that don't mean I wouldn't vote for him, but that means that I'm very disappointed in this particular issue.
Well, I don't know how much he's changed. Like I said, I've been watching him for a year, 2 years now, and he has voted with the Republicans on key, crucial pieces of legislation. Can't figure it out.
Yeah, well, I don't know what station I was watching, but I was watching, and they was talking about how the Democrats were compromising their positions and coming closer to being a Republican rather than the other way. So it's very disappointing.
Well, what do we do about it, Ed?
Well, I know what I'd like to see done, but
I mean, like I said, come May in the primary with Senator Byrd, you know, he's not going to lose the primary. But if we could create a manner in which he sees significantly reduced numbers of voters in that primary. You think he might get the message?
Well, I didn't vote for him one time. He done something. He was talking about setting all the coal on fire underground and using the energy off of it or something. And I thought, what in the, you know,
yeah.
why don't we just set the world on fire and use it for energy? But I thought about the many jobs, the contamination of the air and so forth, and when that election came around, I didn't vote for him. But I was going to tell you something. If you have a way to record, like the History Channel tonight,
mm-hmm.
they're having that skull and, you know.
Skull and Bones?
Yeah, they're having at least an hour-long thing on that. And it talks about a secret, you know, some other secret
societies.
Societies, yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably more ahead of it than I'm probably telling you something that.
No. What time is it, Ed?
It's 9:00.
Okay.
I didn't know if you'd have time to get it on or not.
We'll have to slap a tape in the VCR at the break.
Yeah. Well, I was going to tell you, just mention one other thing. Bush talked about today about the Palestinians and we're trying to wipe off Israel.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a hypocrite and a backbiter. What has he done? You know, what has he done to Iraq and those people, the innocent people over there? We're, you know, he's, if you watch him, he does the same thing that he talks against.
Well, he almost single-handedly wiped out the Christian community in Iraq.
Yeah. But I...
That should tell us something.
It's so disappointing. You know, like I said, I got a cure for it if it takes some bulldozers and get the good people out of Washington, if there's any left, and push that thing in the Chesapeake Bay or the Potomac or whatever. But that's, you've got, I think probably what they're going to do tonight on this skull and bone thing is going to reveal a lot of where we're at.
Well, you know, it's worth repeating, Ed. You know, the skull in Skull and Bones at this point in time is the skull of
Geronimo.
Of Geronimo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, George Bush's granddaddy who went and dug that up. Isn't that sick?
They got a family tradition of being a bunch of jerks.
Well, yeah, and you know, just beyond jerks, Ed, they're gruesome, they're yeah. ghoulish.
Yeah. Well, you can't say what you really think on the air. You know, I heard Bob. I sort of agree with him. I don't know if he's drinking or what, but I sort of agree with his terminology and his philosophy, if all of it's real. But I guess we all got our, axe to grind, so to speak, in this thing. And I think there's
a lot of patriots out there that are fed up with seeing the way that this nation is going, don't you?
Yeah. But the only thing of it is, you feel like, you know, I mentioned the other night that I watched the State Address,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like that you're in another country. You don't feel like any part of that. The seats are taken. The big pot bellies has got them. And ignorance prevails. And it's the mining thing, for an example.
Yeah.
Why has that, you know, we have known the disastrous conditions these people work under all the time.
Sure. Well, that's I keep hearing, Ed, I keep hearing this phrase, mining accidents.
Yeah, Ed, for me, it's premeditated carelessness.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a mining accident.
No.
You know, people get hurt in mines when coal companies refuse to create a safe working environment.
Yeah, and to make the men do it. You know, make them, I hear tales of guys running those boulders and stuff out beyond the point of where they're supposed to go with them without putting bolts in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real discouraging when they got the right and law backing them to stop that kind of stuff. And yet they'll do that for a show of themselves or think the company thinks a lot more of them for doing that. And I guarantee you 6 months from now, that company, that Seiko or whatever it was, they'll never visit one of those families or give them a bag of flour or ask them how they're doing.
Nope.
I was raised in a coal camp. I know how they are.
Sure.
But it's just, it seems like that there's 1,001 reasons to be depressed over the way things are. And you wonder, I listened to some of what you said about, you know, if we was ever going to do anything, if Congress was. We got the hammer out over them on if they would pull this, what do they call it, nuclear thing?
Nuclear option, yeah.
Yeah, on down the road.
Hey, if they want their Patriot Act passed.
Yeah, that I heard that, and that it seems like we got a hammer lock on them if they would use it.
I think the thing that bugs me, though, Ed, I think we're too scared.
Yeah, I'm not, but it's like somebody said that the Democrats think it's the thing to do to move closer to. But I don't think it's a matter of them moving closer. I think that's where they've always been. They're just exposing themselves.
And I think you're probably right. And the idea, but the idea of Bert exposing himself, just ooh, that's a picture I don't want in my head.
That's scary.
Hey, Ed. Have a great evening.
All right, you too, Bob. Thanks.
Yes, indeed. Always a pleasure. Thank you very kindly.
Uh-huh.
Our buddy Ed. Good man. Let's take our break. We'll be back. Your phone calls are, of course, always welcome at 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
And I cause nothing but trouble. I understand if you can't talk to me again. And if you live by the rules of it's over, then I'm sure that that makes sense. And I will go down with this ship. And I won't pass.
Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member. Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Run another. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. Let's make this last hour a good one. I'm Bob. This is Head On. You heard the phone number. Learn it, know it, use it. And, of course, many listeners are chatting the night away in the Tom Hartman chat rooms. That's Tom Hartman with an H after the T and two N's at the end of Hartman. TomHartman.com. Have a blast. Someday I'll be able to afford a chat room of my own. I kid, I tease. Let's see. Okay, so everybody got all the bird out of their system? I haven't gotten all the bird out of my system. I'm still disgusted. I've got about like 1 micron of hope that this really is a great big old chess game. And that somehow or another this is just going to make monkeys out of the Republicans. If there's any saving grace in Byrd's statement, it's that he did not say, at least I have not seen where he said, that he would not support a filibuster. He spoke very, very strongly back when, back before we all found out that Bill the Cat Killer Frist was a filthy little inside traitor. He spoke very strongly about the fact that he would not tolerate the 201-year-old traditions of the United States Senate being trounced on by a bunch of Johnny Dumb Latelys. So I suppose that's the message I've been leaving for Byrd is that we not only expect a no vote against Alito, we expect support for a filibuster. And right now, it looks like we've got the 41 that we need. In his crippled condition, does Bill Frist have the guts to go nuclear? Is he willing to forego getting his Patriot Act with its nasty little uniformed Secret Service federal police force provisions? Is he willing to forego that? I don't know. So I guess we have to wait and see. But as it stands now, I will leave his name blank in the primary, and I will leave his name blank in the general. Because a guy who would give us Alito, we've got nothing left to lose. I mean, if you're just going to toady along behind the Bush agenda, what's the difference? Byrd, Racy, so what? Won't vote for Racy. Won't do it. But what's the difference? Am I wrong? I don't think so. And the sad thing is, well, never mind. Just leave it be. But you got to understand, these same people that were browbeating Senator Byrd with their many unique and different letters from people who would have no way of knowing each other. Boy, if you got to tell me that, I'm pretty sure that you're telling me a big one. But the same people that think they've got the bit in their teeth over Byrd, guess what? This is from special guests. I share these with you from time to time because it's always fun to see which way the wind is blowing in the weird little right-wing world that is Republic World, Bush-murica. This one says, subject, fighting same-sex benefits in corpse, interview op. Here's the title. Fighting sodomy in the workplace. That's okay, dear. Fighting sodomy in the workplace. Where do these Republicans work? I mean, are they all porn stars? Fighting sodomy in the workplace. Is the homosexual agenda now so powerful that major corporations would rather cave into gay demands?
What?
Gay demands?
Somebody gets paid to do this, for God's sakes. Cave in to gay demands and follow the wishes of their own shareholders? Big companies like American Express, Bank of America, Ford Motor, IBM, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Ah, that's Ford's problem. It's the queers. And J.P. Morgan Chase have asked the Securities Exchange Commission to keep shareholders, their owners, from interfering with their support of pro-homosexual policies. Is this what is that? Is that the policy where they have to offer a different kind of quiche every day in the lunchroom?
Wait a minute. What does being homosexual have to do with sodomy in the workplace? It doesn't sound like that it has anything to do with being homosexual.
No wonder.
It sounds like the Republicans.
No wonder American productivity's gone to hell, Agnes.
Are they mad?
It's all this sodomy in the workplace.
Well, no. Are they mad because they're not getting sodomized? Is that it?
You're going to get us in trouble. No, don't make me. Look, don't make me
there,
use that
there
button.
Wasn't, no, I mean, it's a legitimate question. I'm sorry if anybody's offended by it, but this is what they're putting out. So that's the question. Is that what you're wanting, or what's the agenda there?
A bathhouse in every Walmart.
Oh.
Oh, Lord. Against many shareholders' wishes, corporations plan to reward the sodomy lifestyle by giving homosexuals lavish benefit packages. You know, those little soaps, the little lavender soaps in the little basket, and, you know, the warm towels like you get in first class on the airline?
I'll be stewing.
Why sexual orientation policies are un-American? Why offering domestic partner benefits are bad for current employees, retirees, the company, and the homosexuals? Partner benefits are bad for homosexuals. Where to sign a petition urging the Securities and Exchange Commission to let the corporation's owners decide such vital issues? Oh, come on. Where's the dude's name that they want me to interview? Oh, Mr. Strobhar. They want me to introduce Mr. Strobhar.
Right.
Tom Strobhar. Why, he's president. By golly, he rose all the way to president, Agnes. He is president of Citizen Action Now and author of the first shareholder resolution against child pornography, religious bigotry, fetal tissue research, abortifacient drugs, and domestic partner benefits. He's the author of numerous articles on pro-life and pro-family business matters. Let me start with the pro-family business matter. How about your Republican cronies stop shipping all the damn things overseas? Yes, ma'am.
They're bombing the places that we ship it to, so that's not going to be a problem. And the family values things. You know, a family is a family. It doesn't matter if you're opposite sex or you're the same sex. It doesn't matter. A family's a family. You better start picking the right issues to pound on.
Don't say pound.
Sorry.
Fighting sodomy in the workplace. Now,
what was the guy that had the assistant drop dead from that fatal heart murmur? The Republican.
Oh, you're talking about Lori Klassoutis? Joe Scarborough?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. She was just dead.
Yeah, dead people are like that, dear.
Was that caused by sodomy in the workplace?
I don't... Well, see, I'm going back. This is a language moment, dear. This is one of those throw daddy down the stairs his hat kind of moments. Fighting sodomy in the workplace. Am I to assume that the sodomites are fighting each other for access to God knows what? These people, yeah, never mind. Okay, you're not willing to stop Alito because he's a fascist. How about stopping Alito so that the dumb people won't control America? Stupid people. Stupid, stupid people. You know, where is it? We should have had this last night for prayer meeting. Give me a minute. I got it right here. There it is. I don't have a big enough workstation. Here we go.
I mean, these again, they think they can get away with this now. Five teachers at San Leandro High School have refused to comply with a school district order to display a rainbow flag poster in their classrooms that reads, quote, "This is a safe place. This is a safe place to be who you are." Unquote. This is a safe place to be who you are. That's all it says. Five teachers say they will not hang it up because they say homosexuality violates their religious beliefs. It doesn't say this is a safe place to be a big old flaming queen.
What?
It works better if you push the button, dear.
Has the rainbow just been designated to one spot now and a safe place to be? These are kids, right?
Yeah.
That have done this poster.
The high school's Gay Straight Alliance designed the poster.
So
these are where, like, straight kids who refuse to hate people for being gay and gay kids who refuse to hate people for being straight. Yeah,
so
that bunch.
Where does that offend anyone by telling children that it's a safe place to be?
Well, no, it's what it doesn't say, dear. It doesn't say it is they're trying to imply that when you go to school, that in the school it's safe to be a homosexual, when everybody knows that Jesus wants all the homosexuals to be beat within an inch of their life at school.
Right. And these teachers are still working there? Huh.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't think they were allowed to do that. I mean, gee, you've got teachers turning in kids for drawing pictures of Bush with antlers on his head, you know. Well, what's it coming to?
Well, district officials said the poster is an effort to comply with state laws requiring schools to ensure students' safety and curb discrimination and harassment. They say that too often teachers do not reprimand students who use derogatory slurs or refer to homosexuality in a negative way. You see, dear, we've still got problems in this society with people who just gratuitously like to hurt people by calling them sexual epithets like, you know, fag. You know what I mean, dear?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we see it all the time, don't we?
Yes, and, you know, that brings me to one other point. On headon.com.
Headonradio.com?
That's right. When you go there, don't attack each other by using fag and other words, because I'll dump you in a heartbeat.
Okay.
But
okay.
There are no personal attacks.
No.
That's just stupid. If you can't debate on
Agnes,
the issues,
don't crack the whip. You're turning on the weirdos.
I don't care. Go ahead and get turned on. Because you'll just go there and you'll be dumped.
Let's see, 1997, a parents' group at this same high school, San Leandro High School in California. In 1997, a parents' group at the high school demanded that a gay teacher be fired after she came out to her class. Oh, my God. She said she was a human being. She doesn't come out. In 2002, high school English teacher Carl Debrow settled a lawsuit with the district for $1 million after he was disciplined for giving a lecture on racism and homophobia. A judge declared unconstitutional a district policy banning controversial issues from the classroom without a principal's approval. You see, you got to understand, this all does tie together. If someone brought a case saying, "I'm a big old religious bigot, and I believe that Jesus hated homosexuals, even though he never said anything about them. I believe that Jesus hated homosexuals, and therefore I demand the right, based upon my religion, to discriminate against them." Well, Sammy the Sleaze Alito has already said in his rulings that he would agree with that position. And Bob Byrd has said that he believes there are too many limitations on religious freedom as set out by the courts. Now, why religion has to be used as a cudgel? Why religion has to be used as a lever for launching bigotry? I'll never figure out. These five teachers. I mean, my God, that's all it says. This is a safe place to be who you are. This is a safe place to be who you are, and those teachers say, We won't hang that, because we don't want this to be a safe place to be who you are. We want you to hate yourself. We want you to loathe yourself. We want you in the closet, damn it, where you belong. Now, I was always raised, I don't know about you, dear, I suspect you were. I was always raised to believe that everybody would get along better if they were honest with each other and if they put forward who they were. You know, growing up down south and, you know, in the basement of the Baptist church, little old blue-haired ladies, they had a phrase for not being who you are. They said, they would say about someone who would pretend to be something they weren't, they'd say one of two things. They're putting on airs. Or else they would say, well, I wouldn't trust them. They's two-faced. Two-faced. Well, these Christians in San Leandro, their God tells them that some people have to be two-faced. Because their real face isn't good enough to show in public. Now, after all, we've got fighting sodomy in the workplace. If you hang the rainbow flag at San Leandro High School, there may just be fighting sodomy in the classroom. It's just sad.
I prefer to have an open space. I like people for who they are. And the way that they treat me and the way they do things, that's what I base my feelings on. Not whether they're gay or they're straight or they're purple or they're pink. And if you judge a person by that, you're not a Christian. You're not even religious.
Now, there you go.
You're passing. A bigot.
No, you're name calling and you're passing judgment again.
Too bad. They're doing the same thing. I didn't used to be this way, but it's gotten to that point. And you call a duck a duck. And if you're going to base what you feel about somebody by their religion, by their sexual orientation, or anything else, you're not much of a human being. You need to just crawl off in the hole, because what's in your closet that you are trying so desperately to hide?
Well, this is, you know, this here in West Virginia, we saw this, Daryl McGraw. An excellent attorney general. His office had an anti-bullying policy. And at that time, Agnes and my kids, they weren't that old. They hadn't really gotten to the nasty part of school yet. But Daryl McGraw had an anti-bullying program that he sent out to all the schools and the religion industry. You know, the same people that go to Right to Life meetings, go to these, family values meetings. You know, mini Nurembergs, where they all sit around and talk about all the people they hate and how Jesus loves them for doing that. No, they all got together and they made sure that the anti-bullying program in West Virginia was squashed like a bug. Because, after all, the family values people like for little children to be bullied. Now, I joke about, if only the Republicans could get Bill Clinton to really tell them what happened with Monica, you know, if they could just be free to be themselves and, you know, fight, have that fighting sodomy. What we're dealing with here are children. I resent the right wing's desire, and I blame in particular the religion industry and the Dobsons and the icky people, those disgusting charlatan, criminal, demonic cretins. I blame them for sexualizing children. You want to know why we have a child sexual abuse problem in this country? One reason is because we have a right wing that sexualizes children. With kids, a lot of stuff with kids, if you just sort of let it go by, it goes by and there's no big deal about it. But if you make a big deal out of it, they'll catch it. If you're watching TV and there's a booby flash, And, you know, right-wing religious mommy and daddy start screaming, Damon Breast, don't look at the Damon Breast, Timmy. The Damon Breast will send you to hell. Don't look. What do you reckon Timmy's going to do? Wow, it is a breast. I ain't seen one of the... Wow. Cool. And that constitutes the sexualization of children. And I resent it. We don't let it happen around here. We try to answer questions straight up. But we don't sit around talking to our kids. We answer the questions, but we don't beat them over the head with it. And we don't tell them that it's okay to go and whip the other children if they think that they're a little bit effete or if they talk funny. On the other hand, the good religious parents. Did you beat up that sissy boy today like I told you to? Yeah, I used to beat up the sissy boys all the time when I was in school. And you can see how good I done. your old man's number one on the back of the garbage truck every Sunday morning. No, I'm not putting anybody. Hard work is honorable. But these screwballs have nothing to offer their children. No future, no hope. All they can offer them is the viciousness of the present. And other people, decent people's children, have to bear the brunt of their fear and their bigotry and their frustration and their hate. And I'd loathe them for it. I'd despise them for it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Indicted for criminal money laundering. Pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts. 100 flights aboard company jets. 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels. $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Last week's 4th Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for 4th Estate Radio. Get the details at 4thestateradio.com. That's 4thestateradio.com.
Six minutes and change before the close of tonight's show. I'm Bob Kincaid. My lovely Agnes is behind the controls. And I just received an email link from our good friend David in South Carolina. It was a link to SaveTheCourt.org. And it's an action alert urging support for a filibuster to folks like Barack Obama, Christopher Dodd, Joe Lieberman, Joe Biden, Richard Durbin, Evan Bayh, Olympia Snowe, Harry Reid, Charles Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Lincoln Chafee, and Russ Feingold. And it has a pre-prepared message, and I'm going to do it. SaveTheCourt.org. You can find it. Now, but I have to warn you, because since he knows so many arcane rules of the Senate, we learned a new arcane rule of the Senate today from Senator Byrd. Where'd it go? Your signing that petition probably won't matter, because according to Senator Byrd, they have to be letters written on lined paper or personal stationery. Written while watching television or sitting at the dining room table. Because that's what moved him to say that he would support Sammy the Slime.
Well, then, Bob, I'll just make sure that while I have the computer here, I'll put a bunch of lines on paper, and I'll move the computer to the dining room table.
Well, but see, dear, dadgummit, he didn't tell us what color the lines are supposed to be. I mean, what if we send him with blue lines, and he wants red? Isn't that just silly? Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, I didn't make up the part about, you know, I knew that they were real letters because they were written around, you know, while watching TV. Or, listen, if your constituent can't even take time out from desperate freaking housewives long enough to write you a letter, you ought not be paying attention to it, Senator. But that's me, and I guess I'm just, you know, crazy. No, seriously, SaveTheCourt.org. Honest to God, nothing, I don't know how much attention anybody's going to pay to that, to be quite honest. What they'll pay attention to, if they pay attention to anything, is you calling in person. You calling, you know, and you know, make sure you know, if you have to write a little script, you can write a little script. I'm pretty close to being done with Robert Byrd. We will find out at 4:30 on Monday when the cloture vote is scheduled. Yeah, or written while standing in the unemployment line. No, we'll find out how done I am and how done a lot of us are with Robert Byrd Monday at 4:30. If this man who so cherishes the traditions of the Senate, if this man is willing to supplant his judgment for that of 41 of his brother and sister Democrats, I'm done. Because you know what? Sometimes, the wisdom of the many is greater than the wisdom of the few or the one. This is the part where you make the live long and prosper sign and put it up against the glass. Apparently in Bird World, if you've got a computer, you're demon-possessed. It's just sad to see how he has abused the good reputation that he has earned in the last few years. It just hurts. It shames me. I voted for the man. I'm ashamed of him.
Maybe he has a letter like Jay Rockefeller did.
Oh, you mean the letter from Don Vito?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's worried. Could that be it? Because
what's he going to
do? The man's mind is sharp.
I don't know. I've seen a couple of public appearances.
I can't say that the Parkinson's has done this. There's no viable solution to what
religious,
he's doing.
No, religious insanity has done this.
But
not his, those of the Dobson bunch.
Right.
But we've been over this. We're beating the horses on the ground. It's breathed its last, and we are still whomping the daylights
out
of it.
Yes, but there's people that still think that if you say the religion freaks, that you're talking about them. And we're not talking about the Christians, the ones who do unto others as they would have them.
I absolutely
am
not saying a cross word about the people who try to live the life that Jesus Christ talked about.
Exactly. If you're going to...
Or
if you're
Yeshua,
read it,
Yeshua. Let's
and you're
going to
say you are, then practice what you preach.
No, I'm talking about the people who use what passes for Christianity as a cudgel for their Neanderthal bigotry.
Oh, you mean the ones that want to shut down the homeless shelters and the food banks and
well, you know,
anything
the ones,
that helps?
Back when Jim Wallace and some real Christians were demonstrating in front of the Capitol, the ones that said, you know, it's not our priority. Feeding the hungry is not our priority, frankly. We have bigger political fish to fry in this country than feeding the hungry. You know, this was at the same time that these weirdos were running around inside the Senate chambers rubbing Crisco's on the chair. Rubbing Crisco on the chairs. Remember that? You know, Cindy Sheehan's getting arrested. They're trespassing all over the Senate chambers and rubbing Crisco on chairs, and the Capitol Police don't even have the guts to stop them?
What was in that anyway? What did they anoint those chairs with?
God only knows.
Because I think Senator Byrd sat in
I think Senator Byrd sat in some of Owsley's acid. Oh, Jesus, Paisley Skies. I see Alito. I must vote for him. Now the walls are melting.
After talking,
snakes!
After talking to someone for 2 hours, can you say that you would give them a life appointment to one of the highest courts of our nation and know what kind of person they are? Because you can read back through his briefs.
Don't say Alito's briefs.
Alito's briefs, and find out what type of judge he is.
Yeah, we have. He's a freak.
Exactly. So, Senator Byrd is an educated man, and he's a sharp man. Except this time,
he has forgotten more Latin than I will ever learn. Sure.
I'm wondering, did he not read what was put before him? Not taking anyone else's stance. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans.
The only stance he's taking is James Dobson's.
Exactly. And that's not what we want in government. Government and religion should be two separate entities. And that's what the Founding Fathers put out. And he's supposed to have such respect for them.
But no.
He's kind of dumping on them now.
You know, I got a story here headlined. It's from the Associated Press, Terrence Hunt. Bush confident warrantless wiretaps legal. Well, of course he is. He knows he's got the votes to get Alito onto the bench. You take this thing to front of him. Wow, hell, he's a unitary president. He can do what he damn well wants to. If he wants to kill kitties in the middle of 1600 in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, the president can do that, and you can't do anything about it. You know, there's a line in this story. There is a serious talking about the Abramoff thing. There is a serious investigation going on by federal prosecutors. That's their job. Huh? The president said. If they believe something was done inappropriately in the White House, they'll come and look, and they're welcome to do so. You know, stop it. Just for God's sake, stop it. You know, we heard that line, you know, all that hooey about the Valerie Plame outing. We will not tolerate criminal conduct inside the White House, unless it's Carl. Yeah, Carl's still working. The program's legal. It's designed to protect civil liberties, and it's necessary. Huh? Doublespeak. This is the clean air, the clear skies initiative. This is the healthy forest initiative. Cut down all the trees. Clear skies. Pollute them. And now the NSA spying program is designed to protect civil liberties. You know, but bear in mind, if you don't mind, dear, didn't run this last night, and I'm glad we got it left over. These guys don't even know what their own damn job is. Well, this is Scott McClellan talking about the oath the president takes. Dig it.
When the president took the oath of office, he took an oath based on the Constitution, but said he will do everything he can to protect America from all threats, foreign and domestic.
Now, see, I hate a doofus. I hate, and I hate a willful lying doofus even more. He took an oath based upon the Constitution? Is that kind of like the Reader's Digest condensed version of the presidential oath? He took an oath based upon the Constitution. No, Scotty, you miserable little moron. You damn dummy. The president takes an oath that comes straight out of the Constitution. And, I hate to be the guy to break it to you, but there's nothing about foreign and domestic in the presidential oath. It's not there. I mean, for God's sakes, this guy just gets to stand up there and lie. He just lies. Tell us about the presidential... I mean, it's like having Cliff freaking Clavin for the White House press secretary. Yeah, tell us about the presidential oath there, Scott. Well, your presidential oath, you know, you got to understand it started out with the Romanov dynasty. Of course, I've got two extra molars in the back of my head, and that's how we know I'm the true heir to the Romanovs. It's not based on the Constitution. It comes directly from the Constitution. I will protect and defend the Constitution. No, all enemies foreign. See, that's the military oath. I mean, you veterans, you can maybe back me up on this, against all enemies foreign and domestic. That's the military oath, isn't it? That's the oath you take when you're going to be a part of the military. And what? Scott McClellan is still working on polishing up dear leader's military record? Yes. Well, I was clearly mistaken. I mean, we're very proud of the oath the president took back when he was protecting the skies of South Texas against the Vietnamese. Jeez. Otherwise, Bush said, I've had my picture taken with lots of people. Having my picture taken with someone doesn't mean that I'm a friend with him or know him very well. No, but, you know, when you've received $100,000 from him, George. I mean, there's your alternative. George Bush says he would, honest to God, I wouldn't know Jack Abramoff. Can you do that to Abram? I wouldn't know Jack Abramoff from Adam's house cat. So he doesn't know Jack. He's never met Jack. He just takes money from Jack. That's all. Yeah, it beats the hell out of me. I said something about running for president a few years ago. People start walking up and hand me $100,000 at a time. I'm thinking more people should decide to run for president because all kinds of people just walk up, want the picture taken, hand you $100,000. I mean, it's a better racket than Santa's gotten them all every winter. He only gets $5 last I checked. That depends on whether you buy the package or not.
No, Santa gets peed on.
Oh, and this, by the way, yeah. Let's end with this. Gee whiz. This is from Haaretz, you know, the newspaper in Israel. Haaretz, you'll remember, is the newspaper that reported the whole story about George Bush saying to who was it, Abbas? I don't remember. He said, God told me to strike at Osama, and I did. And then God told me to strike at Saddam, and I did. And if you don't help me here, I'll have to run for the re-election, and then I can't help you. Yeah, it was the reporter from Haaretz that George Bush said all this business about God talking to him. Yeah. So, new story in Haaretz just this evening. There are some people out there who are hell-bent on us having a little bit of a war. Or a whole bunch of a war. And the sad thing is, the people that want the war, it's not going to get them killed. It's going to get us killed. Iran apparently wants a war. I mean, what is it? Yeah, bring him on, yeah. Dateline Tehran from the Associated Press, again printed in Haaretz. Iran said Thursday it had information that the United States, Britain, and Israel had a role in two deadly military plane crashes in the last 2 months. It was the latest accusation by Tehran against the West in their sharpening confrontation. A day earlier, Iran blamed the United States and Britain for two bombings this week that killed at least 9 people in southwestern Iran. The information we have says that the U.S., Britain, and Israel's intelligence agents intended to create insecurity in Iran. Well, that's an easy accusation for them to make, seeing as how we've announced that we want to do that. You know, you got Newt Gingrich walking around. We must have regime change in Iran, regime change. Even my evaluation says that the crash of our C-130 and Falcon planes was done by their design or maybe electronic interference. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. God knows I love my country. And I am sick to daggum death of seeing stories like this and having a government where now I look at it and I go, well, you know, I can buy that. This could happen. They could do that. They could down a couple of airplanes. No problem. Isn't that sad? We used to be the good guys. Now we're the bad guys. Oh, where's that abuse of power speech from? Senator Byrd. Yeah, there it is. I believe in this beautiful country. I have studied its roots and gloried in the wisdom of its magnificent Constitution. I have marveled at the wisdom of its founders and framers. Generation after generation of Americans has understood the lofty ideals that underlie our great republic. I have been inspired by the story of their sacrifice and their strength. But today, I weep for my country. I've watched the events of recent months with a heavy, heavy heart. No more is the image of America one of strong yet benevolent peacekeeper. The image of America has changed around the globe. Our friends mistrust us. Our world, our word is disputed. Our intentions are questioned. The information we have says that the U.S., Britain, and Israel's intelligence agents intended to create insecurity in Iran. Even my evaluation says the crash of our C-130 and Falcon planes was done by their design or maybe electronic interference. We flaunt our superpower status with arrogance. We treat U.N. Security Council members like ingrates who offend our princely dignity by lifting their heads from the carpet. Valuable alliances are split. After war has ended, the United States will have to rebuild much more than the country of Iraq. We will have to rebuild America's image around the globe. Thanks for nothing, Senator Byrd. Instead of reasoning with those with whom we disagree, we demand obedience or threaten recrimination. On December 6, 2005, a military transport plane crashed into a 10-story building near Tehran's Mehrabad Airport, killing 115 people. The plane, a U.S.-made C-130, had suffered engine trouble, and the pilot was returning to the airport when the aircraft suddenly lost altitude and slammed into the apartment building. Most of the passengers were Iranian journalists. What was that about, dear leader wanted to bomb Al Jazeera? We get off on killing journalists. We seem to have isolated ourselves. We proclaim a new doctrine of preemption, which is understood by few and feared by many. We say that the United States has the right to turn its firepower on any corner of the globe which might be suspect in the war on terrorism. We assert that right without the sanction of any international body. As a result, the world has become a much more dangerous place. And in this war of words, in this godforsaken war of words, where there are some individuals who pray daily that it will become a war of bullets and bombs and missiles and mushroom clouds. In this war of words, Robert Byrd has exited the field. Robert Byrd says he does not care to stand up for the Constitution of the United States anymore. Robert Byrd says it's all just over. There's no sense in fighting anymore. Resistance is futile. We are Borg. Resistance is futile. We are Bushko. Resistance is futile. He is Bird. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Here is a man who will sell out his constitutional birthright as a senator of the United States of America for a cold, slimy, sleazy, greasy bowl of thin porridge. And he'll say, "I did it for you." At least tell Senator Byrd he's not doing it for you. He's not doing it for me. And he's damn sure doing no favors for the little ones. All the little ones will remember him as is that old man who sold out my rights. That's it for tonight. I don't think I can stand anymore. My lovely wife Agnes produced the program. It was announced by our good friend Brian Reznor. Randy Kerbway is the engineer who helped us set up the studio. our dear, dear friend Ben Birch maintains the stream and the archives of this program at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and he never sends a bill. Do the right thing by Ben when you've got a little extra laying around. God knows Robert Byrd doesn't deserve it anymore. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.